Today, I'm joined by Matt Holtwick. He is the e-commerce and retention growth manager over at chomps.com. I'm sure many of you have heard of that brand. And we're going to be jumping into all things e-commerce growth. They're fully on retail, Amazon, pretty much every channel that a growing brand would be on, they are on. So it is a very fun episode. I hope you guys enjoy this one. For anybody CPG, food and bev, this is right in your wheelhouse, and let's jump in. All right, everybody, it's just me in the pilot seat this morning, and we're going to be talking with Matt Holtwick, growth and retention manager over at Chomps. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am very familiar with your brand. I just had a Chomps beef stick on the way over here, actually. Didn't even think about it that I was about to come over and interview you. So living and breathing, very familiar with the product, but why don't you give everybody else some context on what Chomps is if they haven't heard about it?
Yeah. Chomps is a clean ingredient and real ingredient meat stick. Is a really good macro snack for a lot of our consumers.
Grass-fed, grass-finished.
Yeah, grass-fed and finished beef, antibiotic-free turkey. Yep.
All the above. Cool. Well, I'm a health nerd, so I won't go down that that funnel.
Yeah.
So tell me, so you're over growth and retention. So are you sitting on the acquisition and retention side? Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on the team, on the e-commerce team, really anything chomps.com that comes in through our D2C website. So acquisition from a paid side, influencer, affiliate, SEO, just any type of ways that people are coming to the brand on chomps.com. And then from a retention point of view, like how we're communicating with them when it comes to email, SMS, subscription, loyalty, how we're getting to retain people and doing a lot of analytics on finding out what products people purchase online and how that can inform decisions that our sales team and our analytics team make internally for retail application as well. So yeah, really sit in an area that has a high amount of data that comes in and a bunch of data, you know, around like first party and zero party data. So it's a wealth of information that we're able to put together into documents for the whole team and the whole organization, even though we're just kind of sitting on the e-com side.
How long has Chomps been around?
So we just celebrated our 11-year birthday in September. Wow. Yep.
I was not expecting you guys to be that old.
It started with the co-founders, with Pete and Rashid, really early on, and they just kind of grew year over year over year until really later in the like 2018, 2019 period of time, then really started growing their headcount at Chomps for sure. And even now into 2024, even bigger, like double in size.
And what's the percentage of revenue split between wholesale and .com or e-commerce, I would say?
Yeah, the story is for sure that Pete and Rashid started it on like a store or an online storefront to start selling it storefront, and then had some opportunities for retail growth and you know, jumped on those to be in store. That's really like grown a lot of the awareness and maintaining, still having like a D2C chomps.com website as well. And so wholesale and retail and brick and mortar is a much larger part of the revenue at Chomps, but e-com is also growing as well with a lot of the offerings that we have, a lot of the flavors that we offer on chomps.com that are not offered in retail and brick and mortar. And you know, we also offer like discounted for subscription ways for people to be part of the loyalty program. So there's a lot of stickiness to the retention side for us that that keep people engaged and repeating on chomps.com as well, even though they might purchase on retail and brick and mortar as well.
Yeah, definitely a fully functioning brand at all levels, because I even pulled up Caitlin over on your team posted on LinkedIn 1 month ago, and just 2024 off to a hot start for e-com. First ever Amazon deal of the day, first ever streaming TV campaign live on Amazon, massive D2C new customer growth. first ever customer influencer and swag partnership, and we can touch on that in a little bit.
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more.
So a little bit underneath the hood, percentage of rev that you guys spend on marketing and how, if you guys split it out into influencer, how much you guys are spending on influencer on a month-to-month basis?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe like the percentages is really, from last year, we really revamped and started, you know, ramping up our spend when it comes to influencer. I think it was like late 2022 before I started, and then started ramping up paid media in April of 2023. So it's probably, last year it wasn't as high of a percentage. We had such a high growth year. And then this year we're investing much more in those different channels. So, separate from like speaking to a specific percentage, I think it's still a learning area for us when it comes to where we're spending our dollars for revenue. And just growing from there, like we have like big goals that we want to continue to hit. So that will always, inform us to make budget decisions. But basically last year it was probably a lot lower than the growth that we saw. And then This year is much more aggressive.
So with what are you guys doing on the influencer? Like, where does that budget go? What does it look like? Is it paid partnerships? Is it seeding? Is it UGC contracts? Is it all the above? Is it affiliate commissions? Like, what does that look like?
I think like it's been a step-by-step process of going from, in I would say late 2022, a lot of like focus on ROI partners, just return on investment. So, working with individual influencers to, pay a flat fee for coupon code redemptions on the website. We offer a lot of our partners to also have a specific landing page for that partner to land on for a specific experience, an image of the influencer with maybe a quote about how they use Chomps as a product and also another like reminder of the coupon code that they can use. So we've added a lot more of that after 2022 into 2023. So the majority of our spend for influencer has been on like those ROI partners, direct response, new customers coming in the door from specific influencers in our core audience. And now more recently, later in 2023, really investing in awareness. So we've been looking at more top of funnel awareness across different influencers, just to fill the top of the funnel and get it out there. We started really in Reels. We started to play a little bit more in TikTok when it comes to awareness, just to see how that boosts a lot of our other areas. If it's just lifting, revenue across the entire business, taking a look at a lot of our Google search data to inform like how branded search is doing based off of like when we press play or start to activate a lot of those awareness plays to see if they make an impact. And also just mentioning, using post-purchase surveys to find out if they found out from an influencer or from a specifically what influencer they found out about, even if it was an awareness person, just to kind of
Amazon search as well. Amazon search
Amazon search too. Yeah, we keep track of that as well.
And then I'm assuming these influencers are a micro, like sub 150 of following, or are these bigger tier influencers where someone would actually be like, I know that this influencer drove X.
We work with all of them. So we do, you know, tier one influencers, you know, like the probably mid following, and then even the more niche influencers. And I think we really do stay close to repeat purchase rates and new customer rates of each of the ones that we you know, single out and work with. Because if we're saturating an audience of a much smaller in follow count of an influencer, then we know that we can pivot to different areas of that audience versus maybe we've only scratched the surface of some of those mega tier influencers and can use them multiple times throughout the year at specific moments.
So looking at your ad library, it seems like, I'm assuming it's influencer content or working directly with UGC creators. There's a decent amount of, I would say, what we call human forward content in there. So are you getting rights to this influencer content, like when they post organically, and then, you know, you have usage rights to repurpose, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so we when I came in April of last year, really did a big audit of like the UGC content that we had already produced from like any influencers or ambassadors that we already had, and then really started to put together an idea of how we were going to be able to acquire any like UGC creative. So we're working with a UGC agency right now to get that content produced. There's a pre-production, a production phase, and then an editing phase, then launch, and then we can iterate on the creative that that UGC agency is making. We also get a lot of our content maybe from Bounty. You know, Bounty is a program that creators can submit their creative and get paid for it. So we've used and have rights to that content as well. So we've downloaded a lot of that content for our ad library to see how those work compared to the more like higher produced creative that we have in there. And then we also, you know, would like to do more of just using our ambassadors. So our ambassadors are our highest, you know, like they're our most loyal customer. So you're probably not going to get any better review or testimonial than from people that purchase.
When you're saying ambassadors, are you talking about current customers or influencers as the ambassadors?
We actually have an ambassador program right now. We use Aspire.com to maintain and manage that relationship with those ambassadors. So we've reached out to a lot of people that post more often, or we really like their content, send them some sample product and some free product, and have them give some testimonial, and just make it, you know, super authentic and natural in the way that they're giving a review and a taste test of the product. And we've been able to use a lot of that for our ad content as well.
And then performance wise, how is that? I mean, I'm assuming since you're trying to go out and actively get more, I'm assuming the human forward UGC style content is actually performing well.
Yeah, the UGC videos, you know, we've found, and it's just like looking in the ad account, we get a lot of engagement on those. So, you know, we're able to, you know, see that they're performing well from like that thumb stop rate, the hook rate, the click through rate. We see higher conversions when it comes to our static ads. Like our static ads really do like close the deal. So it's really clear that it's, you know, retargeting from like looking at our frequency in the ads manager on Meta and seeing that, you know, this is obviously still very new customer focus. It's not being repeated around. So we love that the UGC really does create like more of that top of funnel education. We have some, you know, more fun videos in there. So we have like street interviews or just, you know, directly talking to a camera. So we try to keep a lot of creative diversity in the account when it comes to the UGC videos so that, you know, it's hitting a lot of different areas. So yeah, I don't, we will always be looking for more UGC creative. So just continue to push the envelope.
Is your e-commerce still stuck despite doing everything right? You've nailed your product market fit, your customers love you, and yet pushing past this next big milestone still feels like rolling a boulder uphill. You are not the only one. Most e-commerce brands get stuck, but that doesn't mean you have to stay stuck. And over the years, we've developed a three-pillar system, the kinship system, that's helped dozens of brands smash that next $10 million barrier, whether that's going from 0 to 10 or 10 to 20 and so on and so forth, and continue to scale without sacrificing profitability. It's been stress tested across various industries, including fashion, beauty, food, and more. And now you can get the full step-by-step breakdown at kinship.co/free. That's kynship.co/free. No fluff, just a real strategy that works. Once again, sign up for our free masterclass at kinship.co/free. All right, back to the show. It's the toughest one to scale, right? I mean, that's why a lot of people come to us as an agency is, you know, hey, do you guys do the static imagery? And we're like, no, because you currently usually are sitting on a bunch of that content. And it's the human stuff that's hard to scale. And through our influencer process or UGC or CGC, like any of those mechanisms, those are the systems that are really hard to put in place and take a lot of bandwidth and labor and scale. But you need creative diversity at the end of the day. Like when we audit ad accounts, we're looking at, you know, trying to see as much diversity as possible with leaning more towards a little more video, but it's not like a 80-20, it's a 60-40. But we also want to see a pretty even split between static and video as well, and human and product forward. So I love that you reference the creative diversity within the ad account.
For static too, we could pivot super quick in static with this the conversation with the internal creative director and yeah, they can make a simple change to a headline or, you know, offer focused very quickly. And then we can run those like immediately within the day.
Right.
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliate, such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless. Make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank, on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, etc. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing.
So what do you attribute to the massive D2C new customer growth? It's obviously, it was a New Year's sale. Is it primarily the offer? Was it the creative? What was going into that massive growth to start the year?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. I think a lot of it has to do with just that, like a lot of the top of funnel awareness. I mean, the brand also product is very strong when it comes to, you know, people that are wanting to clean up the way that they snack. So, you know, if you're looking for something that tastes great and meets your macros and is a healthy snack that you want to, you know, replace for any like high sugar snack or something that's high in calories that you don't, you know,
pretty much everything in the grocery store that sucks.
Yeah. So if you want to go that direction, like that's, we're a great solution for that. So I think that along with, you know, running like the TV, that you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of top of funnel, we've increased our ad spend as well in 2024. So I think just across the board, like January was a lot of activation. We were really like running on all cylinders when it comes to different like top of funnel, direct response with influencers, direct response with ads, just a lot of great activations that we all ran, and it's been going great. And even into February, we're still seeing a lot of great new customer growth to the brand.
When you guys look at your whole e-commerce, Amazon.com, what is the one metric that you guys are held to or looking at? Is it like a first order contribution margin? Is it AMER? Is it a return on invested capital? Like, what are you guys looking at? Or at least maybe your boss is kind of just It's the one metric she goes in the dashboard and looks at on a day-to-day basis. What is that? What is that for you guys?
Yeah, for us, we, you know, for me personally, when it comes to D2C, looking at our dashboards, every day I look at our MRR and AMRR. I look at our previous day's CAC. I look at our, you know, total, you know, marketing spend, and then also look at our revenue. And I look at new versus returning as well. And then I look back a little bit deeper into what caused that to happen. So did we have an influencer, a big influencer post the day before? Did we have a really good paid media day? And then I roll that up to even like weekly. So Mondays, taking a look at what happened in the previous week, what happened over the weekend. And then monthly, we have, you know, monthly meetings that we go over all of our different acquisition channels, take a look at, you know, influencer, affiliate, podcast, paid media, what's happening on Google, and any other partnerships that we have that are active, and take a look at like revenue numbers, ROAS, try to see what the CPA was and what worked that month. And then, like I kind of mentioned too, like we have highlights of like this really great podcast, had a read, during the middle of the month, had maybe two reads. They had a great CAC, and, we're looking to renew for the next time, or, if it was one that we expected to do better, but it didn't do as good as we thought it would, then we know to pull back on that. So I think a lot of just holistically looking at all the numbers, like daily informs, you know, what's happening now. And then we can look at weekly and monthly, when we want to, if we need to pivot, you know, during those period of times and make any budget adjustments for the future.
I love it. What do you think? Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot here, but biggest learning since coming into a pretty massive brand from Chomps, like given jumping in here, like, what do you feel like when you look back over the past pretty much a year, what's like been the one thing that you're like, whoa, this is different here, or,
My biggest learning has been the amount of people that purchase in both retail and online on chomps.com and on Amazon. With like I mentioned our post-purchase survey, it is amazing the amount of people that particularly buy their grocery or their grocery trip or at their brick and mortar, you know, and probably throw a number of sticks in their basket, for their week or whatever, what have you. But we also have like a large amount of those people have subscriptions, part of our loyalty program, repeat purchasers, come back for sales or come back to purchase full price. So it is a very surprising amount. Yeah.
Are you looking at just an overall percentage of like people that purchase at retail and then people that purchase like subscription revenue or percentages of both buckets? Or do you actually know each individual customer, like John Smith, you know, is a subscriber, and then you actually saw that he bought at Whole Foods?
Yeah, probably could do that. I haven't gone that in depth, but with the post-purchase survey, and the way that it's all lined up and how it integrates with our data studio, we might be able to inform someone's answer to their buying behavior. I'm guessing that we probably could. That's a great idea. But no, from a broad standpoint, like if we're running our How Did You Hear About Us survey and they're mentioning retail, we can follow that up with the percentage of people that have heard of us in retail. And then our returning customer survey, we also ask that question too. Do you also buy in retail? And then now we're getting a little bit deeper into why, if you purchase at retail, why do you buy in chomps.com? And starting to dig a little bit deeper into the reasons why a returning customer would just continue to buy at chomps.com versus retail.
What are those reasons?
Subscription savings, the ability to bulk a lot of the different flavors that I mentioned earlier, that aren't available in grocery or brick and mortar. So we get a lot of people that love the new flavors, or the easeability, you know, or the fact that, and I mentioned subscription savings, but also subscription, not having to worry about, you know, having Chomps at your door every 30, 45 or 90 days that we offer. So you're always going to have it at your door if you know that you need it. So it's just going to be arriving. You can, and we try to keep the experience as seamless as possible for subscription if people want to change their flavors or anything like that. So yeah.
What would be your one piece of advice for someone in your space, like the food and bev space that's in retail most likely, and also trying to maybe actively grow .com? Like we're coming up on Expo West. That's here in my backyard. Maybe I'll see you there. But a lot of those folks are majority retail and have some .com experience or maybe on Amazon and looking to actively grow. So what would be maybe your one piece of advice on that side of things?
Yeah, I think data is your friend. So I think a lot of like what I mentioned earlier, when it comes to your post-purchase survey, if you want to find out more about your online customer, you can pretty much ask any question that you want to find out about and test there. So I think that can inform, like I had mentioned earlier about our retail coverage on our D2C shopper. I think that just informs a lot. I think there's other tactical ways of, putting together the retail and D2C experience. I know there's buy one, get one opportunities with like app platforms to be able to, take an image of your receipt and get a rebate back for a purchase. So I know that's a good way to drive a lot of traffic to retail. I think a lot of it is like data is your friend. I think another thing for CPG that's been super interesting, and being that I have experience at a couple CPG brands now, is just making sure that the messaging that you use is really that solution for what the customer is looking for, and trying to convey that if it's a food and bev company, like convey the taste or convey the reasons why people love it, and really trying to like lean into having new customers, like net new customers, understand the reason why, like because it tastes great, and like customer reviews or those video testimonials of people tasting the product and trying to convey like flavor the way of reason why someone would enjoy it. And I think that that would be a great way to go too, just in creative wise, always trying to keep track and making sure that you're always focusing on what the customer's looking for.
Really good stuff, man. Where do people find you and want to connect? And maybe they're similar role at a similar company, not competing, of course. Where do people find you and want to reach out?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. So if you just search Matt Holtwick at Chomps, I'm on LinkedIn. Shoot me a DM or connect. Happy to chat. I'm not much of a X or Twitter user. I am M Holtwick, but I know like D2C Twitter is pretty popular. So, I'm quite a, screenshot thread person on Twitter when a lot of D2C people post. So, or like a lot of the threads that are posted on D2C Twitter, but, I'm also on Twitter, but mainly LinkedIn is where you can find me.
Sounds good. Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Cool. Thanks so much.